Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. You know, I listen to this song at the beginning of the show every day. You take what's wrong and try to make it right. And that's what we do here on this show, is we're looking at the wrongness of toxic chemicals and consumer products in the world today. And we're showing you how to make things right in your life so that you're not exposed to toxic chemicals that could be making you sick. And I put that word could in there, but for the most part, so many people who are having so many illnesses and even things that you might be suffering from in your own life, in your own health, all of these things have relationships to exposures to toxic chemicals. And this is what we're working on sorting out in this show, is to figure out what's toxic, where it is, and what you can do instead to protect your health, and the health of those that you love. Today is Wednesday, July 16th, 2014, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, and we have been having thunderstorms all morning, big thunderstorms, lots of rain. So if this show gets cut off, it's because the power went out. I am crossing my fingers and thinking good thoughts that we're going to have power for the next hour. Excuse me. And we're going to have a wonderful show. Our subject today is sustainable furnishings. My guest is Susan Inglis. She's the executive director of the Sustainable Furnishings Council, which is an organization of various companies that make various furnishings of different types, the whole furnishings industry, people of different who are making different things within the furnishing industry. They've come together because they are all working in some sustainable way. And we're going to talk about what is sustainable furnishing, but also how toxics fits into that and what different people are doing. We've already had some people, some members of the Sustainable Furnishing Sustainable Furnishings Council, I wanted to say association. It's the Sustainable Furnishing Council. We had a guest on, the owner and founder of Prairie Rugs. We've had on Barry Chick from Naturepedic. And I'm sure we'll have on some other guests from more organizations, more companies from the Sustainable Furnishings Council. But today we're going to talk to the executive director, Susan Inglis. Hi, Susan.
Oh, Deborah, thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. So Susan has more than 25 years experience working with artisans and sustainable manufacture in the home furnishings, fashion, and gift industry. So Susan, would you tell us how you got interested in these issues of sustainability and how the Sustainable Furnishings Council came to be?
Yes, I will tell you the story of how we got to where we are. I got interested in issues of sustainability just as a matter of my heritage. I was just sort of born and evolved into it. And so all my life in my family here in North Carolina, we have been interested in making things with our hands. We've also been interested in stewardship of our natural environment. So that's sort of what I was born into. And when it came time for me to make a living, I started a business working with artisans, and it evolved over the years from a sweater business to a home textiles business to a brokering business. And that's what it was, this small business from the mountain was a business brokering handmaids, when I got word of a plan to have a meeting to talk about the possibility of starting an organization called Sustainable Furnishings Council. And we were brokering a lot into the home furnishings industries at that time, so I was interested to hear about this, knew that it would be good for my business and right up my alley. So I went to that meeting at the showroom of Jerry Cooklin, who is the founder of Sustainable Furnishings Council. He is Peruvian. He was manufacturing furniture in Peru and showing it and selling it out of his showroom in High Point, North Carolina, where there is a major furniture market twice a year. And Jerry called a meeting at his showroom to talk about forming this organization, and I heard about it and showed up. And he told us how he had had an epiphany himself and spent the last several years greening up his operations, which involved making very careful choices about the wood he was using and the processes he was using to make his furniture. Mm. And he knew that even greening up his own operation was just having a small impact compared to what the whole industry could do. So he made an effort to bring the conversation to the industry, and I got involved then, and we incorporated some 6 months later and have been growing ever since. I hasten to mention that my little business From the Mountain Working with Artisans does still exist, but it's quite limited because since September of 2006, I've spent more and more time working with Sustainable Furnishings Council.
Yes. Well, so it was in 2006 that the Sustainable Furnishings Council started. So
yeah.
You've been around for 8 years.
That's right. We were fully incorporated very early in 2007. And as you said, our members are companies that are involved in the home furnishings industry in various ways. So that includes companies that supply materials used in making furnishings. So that would be things like wood and fabrics and foam, et cetera. Companies that make furnishings products, furniture, accessories, lighting, rugs, etc. Companies that sell these things in stores, and interior design firms that specify these things in projects for homes and offices. So that's sort of an overview of the kinds of companies that are involved in the home furnishings industry in our organization.
So you really have people representing each different phase of the life cycle, so to speak, of furniture.
Exactly.
from the materials themselves all the way to the people that the consumer would have contact with in order to purchase
exactly.
these.
Exactly.
I think that this is so great because so many times, I say this over and over, but it bears repeating over and over.
Uh-huh.
So many times the problem for consumers is that they go to a retailer and the retailer doesn't know anything about the materials or where this product has come from. All they're doing is selling it. And so this is a really good opportunity for your members to meet each other and get involved with the whole cycle of it and to be able to then say to a consumer, I know about this product.
Exactly. You're exactly
yeah.
right. And we do find that the sales staff in stores are some of the most eager ones for the kind of information we as an organization can share with them. We do a lot of educating of industry players, and those retail sales staff and those interior designers really want the information they need for talking to consumers.
How many members do you have?
Right now, we've got I should have looked that up, Deborah. We've got over 350 member companies right now. Our membership has hovered between 300 and 400 for the last several years. When we incorporated, there were 40-odd companies that threw their names into the hat to get started with us. And when by the end of that first year, we had 100 companies involved, and now it's hovering between 300 and 400.
What a great accomplishment. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll find out more about the Sustainable Furnishings Council and its members and how furnishings are sustainable or not. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and my guest today is Susan Inglis from the Sustainable Furnishing Council, and their website is sustainablefurnishings.org, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Susan Inglis from the Sustainable Furnishings Council, and that's sustainablefurnishings.org. Susan, how do companies qualify for being part of the council?
We have simple and important requirements for membership. A company must make their own public and verifiable commitment to sustainability, and they must make a commitment to transparency, and they must make a commitment to continuous improvement. Now, the first thing you and your listeners will notice is that word sustainability. It's an umbrella term. It's a big word, and it covers a lot. There are many topics that fall under that sustainability umbrella, and our members' commitments vary. So some members are more focused on matters of reducing toxic inputs. Some are focused more on matters of preserving natural resources, on energy use reduction, et cetera. So all of these things fall under the sustainability umbrella, and they are all important to us as an organization, and they're all interrelated. But the point of focus of different member companies varies, and that's fine with us as an organization. Our premise is that the planet is in enough trouble and our health is suffering sufficiently that every company has to start wherever they are and go forward. Grab an oar and go, and we want to support progress in implementing more and more best practices.
I totally agree with that, because I think that as somebody who has been looking for and cataloging products for more than 30 years, I know that if I were to just take only the one, let me just start over with that sentence.
Yeah.
And say, there was a point, I started out looking at toxics, and about 20 years ago, in 1987, I started in 1982 with toxics. In 1987, I decided, oh my God, there's an environment out there, and there's a lot more that's wrong with products than just toxics. And this was before Earth Day 1990. I had a little newsletter called The Earthwise Consumer that started to try to look at green issues before it was even called green. And what I found was that, and what ended up happening was, after many years, several years ago, I went back to just focusing on toxics, because the issue of evaluating a product for sustainability is so multifaceted that if you were to try to find a product that is completely 100% sustainable in every facet, you would have a very short list.
That's right.
And so I decided for myself that what I was going to do was just focus on toxics, because that's where I started. And if I could just find products that were not toxic, that was a very important thing to do. And in fact, nobody else is really doing that. There's a lot of organizations that are doing some pieces of that. But I'm the only one that I know of where I'm actually looking, I'm taking that idea of having something be not toxic and spreading it through all consumer products.
Yeah, that's really exciting, Deborah.
Thank you. I'm very excited. Thank you. But I want to say that what you're doing, I want to, first of all, commend you for doing it, and tell the listeners that I know how hard it is, because I tried to do it for so many years. And that in the realm of sustainability, you really need to acknowledge that there are many facets, and everything from conserving resources to being non-toxic to the renewability or not renew, it's so many things. What's the energy use? What's the water use? How much energy is used in the transportation of the material from where it's grown to where it's manufactured to where it's sold? It's just a huge, huge thing. And, And so I know from looking at, I haven't looked at every single business in your list yet because it's hundreds.
I know
from looking through this that some of your businesses qualify because they've reduced their energy use, or some because of using organic or renewable materials, and some because they're less toxic. And so when people are looking through for furniture and all kinds of furnishings on your site, they need to figure out what is most important to them. And
that's,
I know,
right,
my listeners are going to be looking for the ones that are least toxic, but they're going to find some that are energy efficient and might be toxic. And
that's right.
And that's just the nature of what this is.
That's right. That's right. Now, all of our member companies fill what's called our best practices agreement. One of the first things we did as an organization was to sit down and suss out what are best practices for sustainability in our industry. So what are
good.
And this covers the whole range of things. And so things about energy use reduction, things about reducing toxic inputs, things about making careful choices in materials and processes, et cetera. And so we have this list of best practices, and each of our member companies goes through the list and indicates which practices they are implementing now, which practices they are not implementing, and which practices are not pertinent to their businesses, and which practices they're in the process of implementing this year. And then they update that every year. So when you or your listeners go to our website looking for furniture, you can use the Finder to find manufacturers. And say you're looking for dining room furniture, you'll click on dining room, and up will come these little thumbnail pictures showing you the dining room furniture made by various members of our organization. And you'll see the one that you like best, and you'll click on that company, and you'll see their best practices. And you're just seeing one little image of their furniture, but that's enough to show you whether it's your style, and then you go to their website and learn more.
You know, we need to go to break, but during the break, I'm going to go to your website and do just that. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Susan Inglis from the Sustainable Furnishings Council. And we'll talk more about sustainable furnishings when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Susan Inglis. She's the executive director of the Sustainable Furnishings Council, where it's a group of businesses that are moving in the direction of becoming more sustainable. They have over 300 members, and you can go there and find some furnishing-type products that are less toxic and have other environmental benefits. Susan, I was just playing around with your website during the break, and can't seem to get back to the homepage. Oh, wait, here we go. It's not the fault of your website. It's my browser. But anyway.
And maybe those storms you're suffering.
It may be. It's just I switched to a new browser, and it there's things that I like about it and things that I don't like about it. But anyway, so I did see on your homepage, which I can't seem to get back to, over on the right, I just want to tell everybody so that everybody knows where to go. Over on the right, there's a box. I can't look at it right now, but it says materials.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's where you need to click. There's four categories. Materials, tell us what they are.
They are find materials, find manufacturers, find stores, and find designers. And they are. It is on the right-hand side of the homepage at sustainablefurnishings.org. And when you click on find manufacturers, for instance, you have a little box where you can find the kind of products that you want. And so you might click on dining room, and then you would see all the companies that make dining room furniture.
Right. Wow. You know, I'm really having technical problems here because I'm not able to open any websites.
Oh, dear.
Not
that's
just yours. Jeez.
That's
okay.
Frustrating. And we're so dependent on those things.
I know.
I'll tell your listeners something else about what they'll see there. They will see images of the Sustainable Furnishings Council member seal. All our members are qualified to use the member seal in their marketing and advertising. And if they are good enough, we recognize them as exemplary. So when you are looking at the list of companies, for instance, the list of manufacturers that make dining room furniture, you'll see that some of them have a silver member seal.
I noticed and that.
Yes. So that means the company has qualified by proving certain things to us. And those requirements that we have include requirements for showing that they are not overly polluting the indoor air. So there are requirements for limits on VOCs, or volatile organic compounds. And in furnishings, there are volatile organic compounds in finishes and in glues. So you would, I mean, we're all familiar with that new product smell, right?
Right.
And if you walk into a furniture store, you will smell that smell, and it will be the volatilizing of the chemicals used in finishes on fabrics and on wood surfaces or other surfaces. So we require that these VOCs are limited, and of course we ideally want there to be no VOCs, but as we were saying earlier in the hour, there are some cases where it's nigh impossible to get rid of toxins in the world we're in these days.
Sometimes, yes. Now, I want to ask you, do you have a minimum requirement for everyone has to meet a minimum requirement, or is that one of the options for an aspect that they can choose?
The minimum requirement is transparency. So all companies must be willing to tell consumers exactly the chemicals that they are using, exactly what the chemical inputs are. So they have to be willing to be transparent about it. But it is the transparency that is the minimum requirement. Now, for being recognized as exemplary, there are more specific requirements that are specifically for limiting VOCs, and those are akin to what GreenGuard certification certifies. So if you're familiar, so two things for your listeners. Look for GreenGuard certification, and if you're familiar with that certification, you know it is a surface certification. So it's only certifying what volatile organic compounds are coming off the surface of the item, and there are various certifications at various levels.
Right. So I think that's an important point to know about the disclosure, because that is also one of the problems that consumers run into, is that they contact a manufacturer or a retailer and they want to know what's in the product, and either people don't know or they refuse to tell them. So
yeah.
at the very least, we know that if we contact one of your manufacturers or stores or designers, we're going to be able to get the information so
that
we can make an informed choice.
That's right. And you're right. That's a very big deal. Yeah. Most often, I think retail sales staff, for instance, have no idea. So that, you know, you ask the salesperson in your local furniture store and they say, I don't know. And it's true. They don't know. And it's going to be hard for them to push push the question up the chain to find out the answers. There's just way too many industry players, individuals who do not know.
But that's part of what is the transformation that's going on in all
yep.
industries right now, is just for people to be finding out, and for the people at the beginning of the chain to be disclosing and sending that information up the line
yeah.
so that everybody knows all along what's going on, how it's being manufactured,
yeah.
what are the problems. And even, you know, some people don't like to talk about what their problems are. I'm going to say this quickly because we're coming up on break. But some people don't like to say what are the problems. But it's by saying this is the truth about what's going on with our product that then they can get information. Maybe one of their customers would know how to fix the problem, how
That's
to do
right.
it less toxically. If they would just be open, then all kinds of discussion can happen. And it's keeping everything secret that keeps it from moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So bravo to you for doing that with this organization. And we need
Thanks.
To go to break. So this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Susan Inglis, Executive Director of the Sustainable Furnishings Council, and they are at sustainablefurnishings.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Susan Inglis, Executive Director of Sustainable Furnishings Council, and their website is sustainablefurnishings.org. Susan, we're in the last segment now. These hours go, it sounds like such a long period of time, but it goes by so fast. I'd like to make sure that you have an opportunity to say anything that you'd like to say, even if I haven't asked the question. So is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
Yes. Well, I would like to be sure your listeners know that when they're shopping for furnishings, just like when they're shopping for other products, they can ask questions that ensure that the products they buy, the way they spend their money, lines up with their values. People are always going to be buying furniture based on whatever their taste is and whatever their budget is. So all of us are going to buy the kinds of products we like the look and feel of at the price we can afford. But know that we can also get these things with an alignment with the values that we hold. So when we are very concerned about removing toxins in the entire supply chain, whether a toxic input makes it all the way to your living room or not, if you want to be sure that there are no toxins in the supply chain, just start asking questions. That's the main thing I want your listeners to know, is to start asking questions.
Well, I totally agree with that, since I've been asking questions for more than 30 years.
Yes, yes.
Well, the problem, I'll just say this again, that the biggest problem is that when people ask questions, me and other consumers, because I hear this over and over again, is that it's pretty frustrating trying to get answers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the more your organization can do to get more answers available
yeah.
for customers, then that's, I mean, starting
that's
with disclosure
better.
is really
yeah.
important. And I do think that that's important.
I'll just interrupt you, Deborah, to say that we do have a very good resource section on our website. It is in one of those sections that we are continuously improving, so it's going to be easier and easier to use. But it's there now with lots of good resources. And so I encourage consumers, your listeners, to make use of that resource section. I also want to encourage your listeners to be in touch with their congressman and let them know that they're concerned about toxins in their consumer products and the things that come into their homes, because we do not have, at this time, good legislation for ensuring a reduction of toxic chemical inputs.
That's exactly right, and many of my guests bring this up, and I am totally in support of getting better legislation. It's something that we definitely need.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I started doing the work that I'm doing so many years ago because at the time, there was no information about toxics in consumer products. In fact, I realized the other day that I actually wrote the very first book on toxic chemicals in consumer products. It was published back in 1984, and I actually self-published a book in 1982, but the first published book on the subject was in 1984, and I wrote it.
Yeah, good for you, Deborah.
Yeah,
that
thank
is
you.
So
thank
important.
You.
Good
and,
for you.
And so there was just no information at all. And,
yeah.
And so, so the point here is that we live in a world where it's all up to the consumer right now to be evaluating all these products and all these toxic chemicals. And it's because we live in a world where consumer products are not safe for the most part. And there are no laws that say they have to be safe for health or they shouldn't be on the market.
Right.
There are, and people think that the government is protecting us, and they are not.
Not
and
in that way.
I would love to be out of a job. I would love for every manufacturer to only make safe products, to understand how to do that, to decide that they're going to, so that we could walk into any store, go to any website, and any product would be safe for health.
Yeah.
That's my goal. That's
it
my goal.
It would be great. Yes.
Yeah.
May we get there quickly. Yes.
Yeah.
I, too, would like to be out of a job because that would mean that all the companies in the home furnishings industry are including best practices for sustainability in their regular quality checks. It would just be a matter of quality that they are being responsible about the materials they choose, about energy use reduction, about toxic input reduction, et cetera.
Yes. So tell us about, I don't want you to pick and choose and say this is my favorite member, but give us some examples. I know. I mean, I can't do with that with my list either. But just give us some examples of, because we have just a few minutes left. So give us some examples.
Well, I will talk about our exemplary members because companies that have qualified to be recognized at the exemplary level are really achieving remarkable things. And they, and we do have among our exemplary members stores as well as manufacturers. So one of those stores is Room & Board, and Room & Board does have stores across the country, so probably in the in your entire listening area. And Room & Board emphasizes U.S. manufacture. So in doing that, they are reducing the amount of transport required for getting, you know, your furniture to your new furniture to your house. And the other thing about a couple of other things about emphasizing U.S. manufacture, in this country, like actually in most countries, we have pretty good environmental protection laws. Most countries do have good environmental protection laws, but here in the U.S., we also have good enforcement of those laws, good compliance with the regulations. So when a product is made here in the U.S., you can be pretty sure that it is made without exploiting people, without polluting the environment where it's made, and without exploiting the scarce resources. So Room & Board is a good example of a company that is earned that exemplary recognition by addressing the triple bottom line effectively. And I do want to mention that our requirements for recognizing companies as exemplary do cover the triple bottom line. That is, what's good for the environment, what's good for the communities of people and other living forms that are mm-hmm. part of the ecosystems on our planet, and what's good for the economy, what makes these communities thrive. So that is the triple bottom line, and we are concerned about sustainability in that holistic way. The companies that are recognized as exemplary have demonstrated a concern for this triple bottom line in their operations, in their product choices, and in their outreach. So when you see the Sustainable Furnishings Council member seal being used, then you can know that there is real substance behind the use of that seal.
Good. Good. What's another exemplary company?
Another one is Naturepedic. I know that Barry Chick of Naturepedic has been on your show before.
Yes.
And Naturepedic is a mattress company. We have several mattress companies that are members, and all of them have very healthy, toxin-free mattresses. But I'm going to mention Naturepedic now because they are an exemplary member, and they are a company that was started basically in order to produce the better mattress, you know, to produce
right.
a mattress that is free of toxins and serves the customer's needs for comfort and economy as well. So, and those mattresses are made here in the U.S. and are made of responsible materials through and through.
Yes,
and the the companies I've mentioned, like others, are also very involved in their communities. So, they are involved in various ways in their communities, not just selling their products. And that's
right.
an important part, too.
It is. So we've come to the end of our time. Thank you so much for being with me, Susan. Again, Susan Inglis is the Executive Director of Sustainable Furnishings Council. Their website is sustainablefurnishings.org. And you can go there and find different members and see if they meet your needs. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio.
Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.